to Chafdalad Amad Aleph. Amrav Chizda Shok Beisha Erva. Shemar Galay Shok Avrina Haro. Succeed Togel Ervoska Dan Tirech Erposka. First, the Shok is an Erva. Shok is Machlokes, the Chazonish and the Mishnah Brura, and others before them. The Chazonish says the Shok is the part of the leg from the knee down. And that has a din of Erva and has to be covered. But we're makel with that it can be covered with stockings. Something form-fitting does not be covered with something that's not form-fitting. But if there's a tefach open there, it's also erva. And therefore, mamela, a woman has to cover her shok, has to wear stockings. According to the Mishnah Berurah, the shok is from the knee up. And only the part till the knee has to be covered, and the part underneath, it depends on the minig, whether people cover it or not. And mikra din, it doesn't have a din of an erva by itself. Omar Shmuel called the Isha Erva. Woman's voice is Erva. Shenemar ki kolech orei v'marech not. Now this voice is what's it called? Singing voice, according to most opinions. According to some, it's also the what's it called? Any kind of voice that is suggestive, seductive, like a voice of saying hello or whatever. Some hold that a woman speaking in front of men, like a public speaking, is also the kind of voice that would be usher. Most poskim hold that's not the case. Some hold that it's only usher to hear a woman singing if she's what's it called? You see her, and therefore on a tape or whatever wouldn't be usher. And some hold the chlal, a taped singing isn't usher. Some hold that in a group, it's not usher because trei koli lo mishtamoi, you can't hear two voices at the same time. And all of those things were not makel. Not in group singing, a lot of women together is also usher, on tape is usher, even if you don't see the woman, is usher, even though there are mekilim in all of those things. Okay. But we are knowing that it's only the singing voice of a woman that's usher, not the speaking voice. Okay, and basically it's gavi kriyishma, that you can't say kriyishma, and also that you're not allowed to be nehena. You can't listen to it either, because it's listening to an erva. Sar beisha erva, woman's hair is also erva. Shenemar sareich ke'eder ha'izim. Now here there are different opinions what this is going on by sar, because we know that unmarried women's hair they don't cover it, and some hold that therefore you can say kriyishma legavi an unmarried woman's hair. So they say it's like this. Some say that Maram Alaskar says this whole halach over here, Sar Beisha, is only legabe histaklis, that you're not allowed to look at a woman's hair to get enjoyment. But that for Kriyashma, you're allowed to say Kriyashma connected an uncovered woman's hair. And the Rambam Tak only brings this halacha down legabe, not looking at erva, but not legabe Kriyashma. The Mechaber, though, brings it down legabe Kriyashma, and it's talking about married women, since a married woman has to cover her hair. So her uncovered hair is an erva. An unmarried woman doesn't have to cover her hair. We learned the halach of covering your hair from a sota, and a sota obviously had to be married, a married woman. So the only time a woman has to cover her hair is by a married woman, and she doesn't cover it, since it's normally covered, it's an erva. However, what happens if you're in a place where married women don't cover their hair? So the Orach HaShulchan says, L'maisa, now that becomes also an uncovered place, and you could say Kriyishma. But that doesn't mean that it's okay for the woman to uncover her hair. It's halacha, she has to cover her hair. But if she's an abarian, and most women don't cover their hair in that place, then it's not an erva for kriyishma. The Mishnah Berurah says no. Since the maisa are doing something asur, and they're supposed to cover their hair, even if they don't do it, it still remains an erva for kriyishma. Okay. And basically what we said before, this tefach magula, right, is not usher because of erva mamish, that's only the makom ha-erva, but any part of a woman's body that's not mamish the erva is usher because of hearer. The nafkamina is, if you close your eyes, if it's because of lo yira b'cho erva stavar, lo yira means it shouldn't be able to be seen, even if your eyes are closed, but it's in your line of vision, even if you don't see it, it's usher. But if it's because of hearer, if you close your eyes, you're not mahara. If you look the other way, you look up, you look down. Therefore, we're makel that any erva that's not mamish erva, an a naked woman, right, which mamish erva, but just tefach megula, or parts her hair, or her sleeves, or things like that, that it helps to close your eyes or to look away. And therefore, we're makel that if somebody's giving a drush or whatever, the women that aren't dressed properly, that as long as you don't concentrate and look at those women, you look other places or whatever, then it's what's it called, it's okay to continue saying Divrei Torah, same thing goes on the bus or whatever. Okay. Same thing also goes on a bus if they have music playing of women singing and it's time for Kriya Shema, you want to learn that b'di'evad you can be somech on these heterim, that it's only if you see her, it's not tape music, it's whatever, then to be able to continue learning. But the chatchila shouldn't be somech on that, not to listen to it, and not to, what's it called, not to say Divrei Torah connected it. Okay. Amrei b'chanina, nira isyas Rebbe shetola tfilah. I saw Rebbe, he hung his tefillin up. Rashi learns, let's see the Rashi's till now, we didn't learn them. Shok, the Ashes Ish. Rashi learns that this is talking about a married woman, that the shok is an erva, mashma bayat pnuya, it's not erva b'chlav. Erva v'stakel, not allowed to look at it. B'chein b'ish tol kriyashma, the same thing goes for your wife, for kriyashma also, it's considered an erva. Galei shok, uksi basrei, togel ervoscha. The pasuk in the Megillah, right, praises a woman's voice. Shema mina taiva, it's something that arouses taiva. Hatolet tefilah biyase yitlu chayim. If you hang your tefillin in the yate, on a peg, right? So then it's what's it called? That's what Rashi says talking about. Masher from Rashi that if you hold it in your hand and it's hanging, that's not a problem. Okay, we'll see there are others all differently. Rashi says the Isser is hanging it from a peg. Weiter. Dorshe Meshve. Reb Chanina said, I saw Rebbe who hung his tefillin. And here it says, what's it called? Told the tefillin of Yitlul Ochayiv, a person who hangs up his tefillin. His life is hanging in the balance. Dorshe Chamur Osomrun, those who darshan the psukim, said that there's a hint in the pasuk. A person's life should be hanging in the balance. That refers to a person who hangs up his tefillin. It depends what you're hanging. If the bias is firmly planted on the peg, and the ritsuos are hanging down, that's okay. But if you're hanging the bias by the ritsuos are on the peg, and the bias hangs down, that's not proper. Doesn't make a difference if the ritsuos are hanging or the bias is hanging. It's all awesome. Chitola Rebbe bekista tola. Rebbe hung it when it was in its zek, in the case, right, in the sack. Ihachi mailam hamer. Of course, you can hang the sack. You're not hanging the tefillin. I might think that the tefillin can't be hung in any situation. They have to be mamish be placed on a base. Kamash like a sefer Torah. Kamash on that. Rashi. Dorshe Rishumos. We have Girsa Dorshe Chamuros. Dorshe Rishumos. Ksharim Ustumim. Haklulim Batorah. Things that are reshumos means things that are tied up and not clear in the Torah, haklulim b'Torah, dorshe chamuros karsinan, vihihi, same thing. Some people darshan dorshe chamuros, same thing. Chamor and roshum means something that's hidden, tied up, and they uncover it. Zehatola tefilah, shatora chayiv shalonah, v'remez l'chakost of shiit l'chayiv. Torah is a person's life, and if you hang Divrei Torah, you hang tefillin, your life is being hung. If you hang it by the straps and the bias hangs down, that's improper. That's okay. That's according to the first lashon. The kista tola betoch tikon hoyu, the tola tik. They were in their zekel and he hung the zekel. That's okay. What was the havamina? That should be like a sefer Torah. That means mashma, that a sefer Torah you can never hang. Okay? Okay, so first of all, Rashi and the Meiri, the Rashbats, all say that it's only talking where you hang it on a peg. But if you hold it in your hand and you let the ritzuas hang down, or even if you hold the ritzuas and you let the bias, sometimes you pick the ritzuas to put the thing on, the bias on your head, and you're holding the tefillin by the ritzua, and the bias is hanging down. So they all hold that that is okay. However, even the Eri says that, the Menuchah Yosef says, midas chasidus, you shouldn't do that. You should hold all of it together and put it on like that, right, without letting any of it hang. The or Zarua holds that it's usur to let your tefillin hang, whether the ritzua or the bias, even if you're holding it in your hand. And the Magen Avraham says that l'maisa l'gabi your hand, we can be mekel like the first lashon, that the ritzua is not a problem. If you let the ritzuas hang, it's not a problem. But if you hold let the bias hang, that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't hold it by the ritzuas and let the bias hang down. You should make sure that you hold the bias all the time. A clear Sefer Torah in Sri Chayodim. The Chayodim says that even if the Sefer Torah is in an Aram, because here it's mashma, that if the tefillin are in a zekel and you hang the zekel, it's okay, but it's in a Sefer Torah, it wouldn't be like that. So the Chayodim says that, therefore, if you have a Sefer Torah in an Aram Kodesh, and the Aram Kodesh is suspended, right, it's not on the ground, that's also. You can't have a suspended Aram Kodesh. And Nishmas Adam, he says, not only not a suspended. Suspended would mean it's hanging from the ceiling, right, on a string. So that's Tola. So that would be awesome. The Nishmas Adam says, even if it's connected to the wall, but it's not on the ground. No, it's in the middle of the wall, connected with nails or whatever, is also awesome. There are a lot of Aron Kodeshes like that that aren't mamish firmers planted on the ground, and most posts can hold not like the Nishmas Adam, that if it's firmly in the wall, that's part of the wall, that's not called tolui. Tolui means where it's hanging from a string or something, and the Aron Kodesh is suspended from a string. And the Rashbats holds that even, what's it called, an Aron Kodesh that's tolui ba'avir, as long as it's in the Aron Kodesh, that's also okay. It's not like a tefillin zekel. An Aron Kodesh is the Sefer Torah itself is on a base. The base happens to be... But a zekel is a different thing. It's not a base at all. You're hanging the zekel, you're hanging the tefillin too. Okay, but in any case, that's the... Okay, let's go on. Omer Rav Chanina, Ani ra'isi es Rebbe. I saw Rebbe, shegihek upihek v'nisatesh. Okay? Gihek is he belched, pihek is he yawned, and nisatesh is he sneezed. Okay, for now, we'll see. Nisatesh means sneezing. So we have belching, yawning, and sneezing. Okay? I saw Rebbe, and it doesn't mean it was all at the same time, necessarily, right? But on different days, one time I saw him belch, one time I saw him whatever. The rock, and he spit. I saw him also take a louse out of his clothing, right? He deliced himself, all this while he was davening. Avaloha yamisatev. But he didn't, what's it called, pick up his talus if it fell off of him when he was davening, right? In order not to be mamsik. But during davening, he did all these things. He yawned, belched, sneezed, and took off lice from his clothing. But if his talus fell off, he didn't pick it up and put it on. His own middle shmonesrei. Kshubathaik, I saw when he yawned, hayameniach yado al santero. The way Rashi learns is that he put his hand on his chin to cover his mouth. Like we consider it's proper etiquette to cover your mouth when you yawn. So when he yawned, he covered his mouth out of respect, even though he's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, we'll see there are other ways of learning here. Rashi. Pihek. No, Gihek. Shegihek. Retire, Balaz. Pamim sha'adam motzi migufo lepiv nefichka mitoch sovo v'recha kareacha maicho sha'achal. Sometimes a person belches and he brings out air from his body that smells like the food that he ate. That's a belch. Okay. Pihek cheich malkocha poseach lehotzi ruach haper mole ka'adam sha'rotza lisho no sha'amed mishino. The person who's tired or he just got up, he opens his mouth wide and yawns. Vinisatesh, that's sneezing. The Esha Dorshim Gihek no Triken Gav Hekim Pihek Piv Hekim. Right? One is belching where you pick up your back, and the other one is yawning where you pick up your mouth. Your mouth is open wide. Varok al gabi karet means spit on the ground. Umnash means to dig though. Lahadir hakima hoax also. There was a louse that was biting him and he took it off his clothing. Avalohaya misatit. If not la taliso, shumispalo, lohaya notlo, umisate, shalola hatsik. Okay. Now this, first lesson, the Mamash Mesh the Big Dope, Tosa says, the Rach has a different shot over here. He says that the Mamash Mesh the Big Dope, Avalohaya misatit, is all one thing. If his talis partially fell off, so he would re-straighten it, reorganize it. And the Magen Avraham says, even if it most fell off. But if it fell off completely, he didn't pick it up. It wasn't considered a hefsek to reorganize the talis if it fell off partially. So it's all one thing. Okay. Okay, halacha-wise, that's halacha taka, that you can rearrange your talis if it starts to fall off or whatever during Shmoneh Esrei, but if it falls off completely, you don't pick it up and put it back on. Also, if your talis falls off completely and you didn't have any inkling that it was falling off, you have to make a new bracha when you put it back on. But if you felt it falling off, and while it was still on you, you knew it was going to fall off, so you had in mind that it's going to fall and you're going to put it back on, you don't have to make a new bracha. Okay. Right. The Rif has the opposite gears over here. Meiniach yodo al santero. He has velohaya meiniach yodo al santero. He didn't put his hand. So if you learn chin, it means that you can put your hand over your mouth when you yawn, but you shouldn't put your hand under your chin like this, right? When you, what's it called? When you're davening, it's a gaiva. It's a what's it called? Or you sit like this when you daven is not a proper position for davening. And some hold santero doesn't mean your chin, means your hips. You shouldn't stand and daven with your hands on your hips. Also a position of gaiva. Okay. Right. Meisne, Hamashmiya Kolo Bitfiloso, Hareza Miktani Amuna. Person who davens loudly, right? He lets his voice be heard, is Miktani Amuna, because he thinks, it seems to imply that he thinks God can't hear unless he says it loud. And there's a shaila whether by Tfilo, we know by Shema, the what's it called, it's preferable to hear, at least you hear what you're saying. But by Shmoneh Esrei, some hold that you shouldn't even hear what you're saying. You should be whispering so low that you can't even hear it. Others hold that by Shmoneh Esrei, at least you can, what's it called, hear what you're saying, right? The Tosefta, the Rashi brings on a Tosefta, and the Beis Yosef brings a Zohar that you shouldn't even say Shmoneh Esrei loud enough for you to hear it. And that's the Arizal also writes that. However, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, say that when you say Shmoneh Esrei, you should hear what you're saying, but it shouldn't be loud enough for somebody else to hear it. However, we'll see the Gemara says later on. No, let's go on, and we'll see later what it says. So a person who raises his voice too much in tefillah is miktani amuna, and hamagbia kol, if you really raise it, where other people can hear you, harizim in the vi sheker, it's like in the vi sheker, they used to pray in a loud voice. Megahek umefaik, if a person, when he's davening, yawns or belches, hareze megase haruach. That's gases haruach. That's, what's a gases haruach? It's a, crass, yeah. Gross, that's the word. It's gross. You're a gross person if you yawn or belch when you daven. Hamisatesh bitfiloso simin ralo. If you sneeze when you're davening, it's a bad sign. The yeshomer nikrashu mechur. Others say that it's clear that you are an ugly, disgusting person. Harok bitfiloso. If you spit when you daven, kiilu rok bitnei amelech. It's like you're spitting in front of the king. So, lechora, all of these things contradict what we said that Rebbe used to do these things when he davened. And he used to do them, but he didn't. So Bishlam Megayik Umethayik Lokasha, right? Yawning and belching, we can answer very simply. Kanla Onso, Kanla Tzona. Depends if you do it on purpose or it's an accident. These things happen, but you're not willfully, right? Against your will. By Rebbe, it happened against his will, right? It was involuntary. That was obviously okay. But what it's saying over here, that's a terrible thing. If you do it on purpose, you belch on purpose or you yawn on purpose. Elamis atish amis atish kasha. But sneezing, the Chora Rashi learns, sneezing is only involuntary. You don't sneeze on purpose. You can belch on purpose. You can't sneeze on purpose. So you can't answer that the sneezing was voluntary or involuntary. It's mashma that sneezing, even involuntary, is a bad sign. Gemara says, Misatish ha-misatish no-milo kasha. Sneezing is also not a problem. Kan milmala, kan milmata. There's sneezing with your nose, and then there's a euphemism that's called sneezing that means passing gas. And that, the what passing gas, is a simin ra. And that's not what he saw Rebbe do. And sneezing is what's called not a problem at all. Dom Reb Zera, not only is not a problem, just the opposite. Hom nilsa ivla li be rav haminuna. Ivla can mean, I got this, by osmosis, came into me in by rav haminuna, or iboyili. Right, I have this question that was answered for me in the yeshiva rav haminuna. The takili li kikule talmudai. And it was equal to me, like all my learning. This was a really important thing that I learned there. What is that? Hamisatish bitfilah. So if a person sneezes when he davens, simin yokalo, it's a good sign. Why? Kishem she'osim lo nachas ruach milmata. Because when you sneeze, you feel good. So just like this is an involuntary thing, they're showing you that the Rebbe Shem wants to make you feel good physically. So also osim lo nachas ruach milmata. In the Shamayim also, they're accepting your tefillah. So now we have everything answered so far. We have yawning and belching is bad when you do it on purpose, but it's okay when it happens involuntarily. Sneezing is not a problem, because sneezing, when you sneeze through your nose, that's not a problem. That's even a good sign when you're davening. But the other sneezing is passing gas. That's the problem. It's interesting. Madonna Yontif says that it's only when you pass gas and it makes a noise. But if it's silent, right, there, that's not even a simin ra. The Rambam, and the Magen Avraham says there's no such thing. A person who passes gas in davening, even if it's involuntary, is a bad sign. And the Rambam B'chlal has a different gears over here. He learned that the Gemara also answered that by sneezing also, it depends if it's voluntary or involuntary. How do you voluntarily sneeze? What it means is you didn't check before davening to make sure that you wouldn't have to sneeze during davening. Right? You could have prevented it by blowing your nose, and you didn't. But if you sneeze and you didn't have to blow your nose, it just came upon you by accident, that's the kind that's okay. Okay, let's go on. So the only thing we didn't answer, Ela Rok Arok Kasha, spitting, right? Here it says the Rebbe spit, and here it says if you spit, it's like you're spitting in front of the king. Rok Arok Nomilo Kasha, no question, no problem. Efshar Kid Rav Yehuda, Dom Rav Yehuda, Hayomi Bitfila, Venizdamin Lo Rok, if you were davening, and all of a sudden you felt like spitting, right? The saliva, accumulated in your mouth, or you had to cough up phlegm. Right? Anybody not eat breakfast yet? Right? So mavlio betaliso. So put it. You don't spit it on the ground. You spit it into your shirt. Okay. Vimtalis noihu. What if it's a nice shirt? Right? It's a nice jacket. You don't want to spit into your sleeve. Right? You're wearing a nice suit. Mavlio bafarksuso. Then you spit it into your hat. Okay? So Rashi says, let's see all the Rashis here. Hariza miktani amona, ki ilu ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomea tfilas lachat. Person who magbia harbe. A person who, who raises his voice. So like we said, depends if you're supposed to daven, even when you don't hear it, you're raising it where you hear it. If you're supposed to hear it, then you're raising a little bit more than that, but still not that other people can hear. Okay, so then you're miktani amana, like this, that Kodesh Baruch Hu can't hear if you whisper. Umakviya harbe, but if you raise it a lot, your mom is yelling. Harizan in the via sheker, they'll see the yikru bekol godo, they yell. Amagaik, vamefahik, harizan migasi aruach, the yeshomer nikrishu mechur, garsima. And some people say that it's on both of these things, yawning and belching. Not only is it gross, but it's also a snicker that you're a disgusting person. Ela itusha itushka, should they in itusha lala also. You can't sneeze voluntarily. Lamata mefiach bekol. Rashi seems to say, like the Madonic Yontif is Madaiik, that Dafka, if you pass gas and it makes a noise. But it doesn't make a noise, but the Morgan of Rome says, it's lav Dafka. It doesn't mean Dafka then. It's even if you pass gas and there's no noise. Vitakilili kikule tamudoi, shkula olai v'chadiva lefishoye rogali satish. He used to sneeze all the time. And he said, when I learned this halacha, it made me feel good. That's a good siman tov. You sneeze when you're davening, it's a good sign. Shem shosim ul nachas ruach, sha'itush nachas ruach lo'adam. When a person sneezes, feels good. Tak osalo nachas ruach m'mala, min ha'shamayi l'mala shalosu. It's a siman that they're going to answer his tefillah to. Efshe kura b'yehuda, lavliya bar v'ksuso, sudr shibarosho, u'shnei roshim tluyim b'fonav. Now, one of the mefarshim over here, Rashi says, that it means your hat. Okay? And Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's very modern, well, you take off your hat in the middle of Shmona Esrei and spit into it, right? But Rashi doesn't say that. I just don't know what the kasha is. Rashi says that the hat they used to wear had two sides, like it was on their head, and had two things hanging down on the side. You don't take off the hat, you just take one of the side things, and that's what it's made for. It's spitting into your side things in your hat. Not like our hat that's on your head. It was like a headband, a head thing, headdress, with things hanging down, the part that's hanging down. That's what you spit into. So they don't understand what the kasha is. Kasha doesn't say take off your hat and spit into it. Okay, in any case, where are we up to? Right. Right there. Ravina havikoi achorid Ravashi. Ravina was davening on back of Ravashi, nizdamen lo rok, and he got what's it called the need to spit. Paske la achore. So he spit behind him. Omer le lo sover lo mar lo hoder of Yehuda mavlio ba fraksuso. You'll do hold that you can spit into your hat or into on your sleeve or whatever. Omer le ano anina darte. He said I'm too dainty for that. I don't like to spit in my sleeve or whatever. I just want to get rid of it. And so he spit behind him. Rashi. Paske, Zorko. He threw it. So there is an opinion here. Who is it? Second. Here. Okay, first of all, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, l'chatchili, you're not allowed to spit during davening, but if you can't control yourself, then you should spit into your baguette, and if not, you should spit behind you, right? And if you can't do that, there's somebody standing behind you, or there's a wall behind you or something, then you spit on the side, not in front of you, but on the side, and preferably on the left side, and there's a machlokas, which left side? Your left side, or the left side of the Shechina, who you're standing opposite, means on your right side. Okay. Now, some say that it doesn't mean that you spit it out of your mouth. You spit into your hand and you throw it backwards. Okay? Because spitting with your mouth backwards is more kalas rosh. You spit into your hand and then you beshosef, and it says this in the Rambam, that you throw it with your hand. But if you're an istanis, right, and you're not going to spit into your hand and throw it behind you, so then you can spit it directly behind you. Okay, now the Rishalmi says, usher to spit in a shul. This could be talking where you're davening at home, according to all this. But in a shul, you're not allowed to spit onto the floor, right? And that, there's a Gemara later on, some of Gimel. When we get there, we'll see what the halachas are. But it's possible that in a shul is a different halacha. Okay. Let's go on. In any case, all this thing about spitting or whatever is very foreign to us because we're not used to spitting bichlal, but in other cultures, they used to have spittoons. Well, they used to have makalim in the house where people would spit into them, right? And that's why in the subways it says no spitting, because that was a normal thing to do, just as much as in the buses here it says, don't be mfatseach, what's it called, pitzuchim, right, whatever it's called, the garinim, right? They don't have that in the subways in New York, right? But they don't have here. Don't spit. It's a different cultures, whatever. Okay. Right. Hamashmiya kolo b'tfiloso, hareza miktani amuna. Person who raises his voice when he davens is of little amuna. He thinks the Rabban Shem can't hear him unless he says it loud. That's only if you can be mechavin by whispering. Eslibo belachash. Aval ein yochel lechavin eslibo belachash. If you don't can have kavana when you're whispering, you need to say it louder either to keep yourself awake or to have more kavana, right? And the Magen Avraham says not only that you won't have kavana if you don't say it louder, but you'll have more kavana if you say it. Louder, that's also okay. Let's see if that was really the Magen Avraham. No, wasn't the Magen Avraham, it was the Taz. Taz says that even if, what's it called, it's not a person, you won't have any kavanah. If you have more kavanah, if you daven a little bit louder, you can daven a little bit louder, as long as you don't disturb other people. V'hani mile b'yachid, this is only when you're alone. Av'a b'tzibur, osi l'mitra tzibur. If you daven too loud when you're a tzibur, you're going to disturb other people. Some svarim say, some poskim say, that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the meaning is to daven louder. And there, we're not afraid that you're going to bother other people because everybody's so much mechavan in their tefillah that it doesn't bother them other people, and you can daven louder because of extra kavana. And some hold just the opposite. There are chashulchan questions bechlal this minig that it's not a good idea to daven loud on Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Just the opposite. Here is, since it's davening loud is a problem on Rosh Hashanah Kippur, you should be extra careful not to make any problems and not to disturb other people. So doesn't know why this minig became about daven loud and Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Okay. Weiter. Rabbi Abba, havikom mishtamet mined Rav Yehuda, the havikom boy lemesek la'Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Abba wanted to make aliyah. He wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, and he was avoiding Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda held that you're not allowed to leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Abba was not a Talmud of Rav Yehuda, and most poskim argued on Rav Yehuda. So therefore, he didn't want to go to Rav Yehuda because he didn't want to him to stop him from going to Eretz Yisrael. The Om Rav Yehuda, kol ha'olam mi-Bavel, Eretz Yisrael, over be'esei, a person who leaves Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael, is over an essay of Divrei Kabbalah, she'ne'emar, Bavela yuvo'u v'shome yiyu. They'll be brought to Bavel and they should stay there. And even though that was said by the first Golas, right? And this is what we're talking now here after Churban Bayis Sheni, the second Golas. But Tosa said, Mishtaber, that it applied the same thing. So when they went into Golas, they weren't allowed to leave Bavel to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And then when they came back, then they were allowed to come back, as the Rabban Shem told them to come back. So all the time of Bayis Sheni, you were allowed to come back. All the time of Bayis Sheni, you were allowed to come back. When Bayis Sheni was Nechrav, then the Isser came back. You can't leave Bavel to come to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rav Yehuda holds. And the reason was, Bavel was the center of Torah in the world. And to leave a Makom Torah to come to Eretz Yisrael, which wasn't such a Makom Torah at the time, that's also, and the Miri says, the Iker is not Eretz Yisrael. Chutz La'aretz Iker is where Torah is. Where Torah is for Klal Yisrael. Wherever the major centers of Torah are, that's where a Jew should live. And what's it called? So when there's Torah centers in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, then Lechora, there's no, the Indian is just as much living in Eretz Yisrael as living in Bavel. But when there weren't Torah centers in Eretz Yisrael, the major Torah centers were in Bavel, then Rabbi Yehuda held it was an usher to leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. But again, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda alone. V'ad yom pot yosomnu mashem. Omar ezel v'esh m'minei milsa, m'beis vada, v'hoder otik. So he said, let me go and hear something in his Beis Medrash. He was avoiding him, but he wanted, before he left, to hear one last word from the Beis Medrash of Rav Yehuda. And then I'll go to Eretz Yisrael. Also, Ashkeche Latana, the Tani Kamed Rav Yehuda. So he found that they were learning in the presence of Rav Yehuda the following halach. Hayaomei b'tfila v'nisatesh. Person was davening, and he passed gas. This nisatesh is the euphemism kind. He didn't sneeze. He passed gas. So mamtin ad sheyich leharuach. So he waits till the smell goes away. The choser mispal. And then he continues davening. Ikedi Amrei, some say, Haya Omed B'tchilu B'kesh L'sa'atesh, the person's davening and he can't hold it back. We're talking here where it's involuntary. And he feels the need to pass gas, and he knows it's coming. So then, Marchik La'achra of Dalar Amas, in the middle of Shemona Esrei, he should walk back 4 Amas, okay, about 7.5 feet backwards, okay, and Umisatesh, and then he should pass the gas. Again, we're talking where he can't control it. Umamtin atshiyich laharuach, and then he waits till the odor goes away. The choser mispal, then he goes back to davening. The omer, and before he starts davening again, he says the following, in the middle of Shemona Esrei, Ribono Shel Olam, Yitzartanu nekovim nekovim chalulim chalulim, you created us with all different kinds of holes and spaces in our body. Goli v'yadu lefanecha cherpaseinu klimaseinu b'chayenu v'achriseinu rima v'soleya. And you know how lowly, right, and embarrassed and ashamed we are, right, just being flimsy human beings. So basically, you're apologizing to the Rabban Hashem for doing this in the middle of standing in front of the king and talking to him, right? But you say, Rabban Hashem, you know, you made us, right? And you know we have these shortcomings, we're physical beings, and I just couldn't control it. That's basically what you're saying. And you go back then to continue Shemona Esrei from the place that you stopped. You don't go back to the beginning. If I didn't come just to hear this halacha, it was kedai to come that last time before I went to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Okay, now this this halacha, okay, atshiyich laharuach, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that the different girsa. We have atshiyich lahareach, till the odor goes away. The Rambam had a girsa, atshiyich laharuach, till you stop passing the gas. But it has nothing to do with the odor. Okay? Lemaisa, we don't have the minig that if this happens in the middle of Shemona Esrei, to start walking back 4 Amas and to say these things or whatever. The Truma Sadeshin says, because all of this was talking where you're davening alone. But in the middle of the shul, somebody starts walking back 4 Amas and you see it's going to be tremendously embarrassing. Right, everybody obviously know what the guy's doing in the middle of Shemona Esrei, walking back 4 Amas. Right, it's an embarrassing thing. You don't have to embarrass yourself for this. You just, if it happens, you wait till the odor goes away and you continue davening from where you left off, and you don't say any of these psukim. However, it's mashim from Truma Sadeshin that if you're davening in your house and it happens, then ain't a chanami. You should walk back 4 Amas and you should say these psukim. But the minhag ha'olam is, for whatever reason, we don't do this. And we just continue davening after the odor goes away. Okay? Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Let's just learn a little bit more here so we don't have too much more to do tomorrow. Hayashin b'taliso. You're sleeping in a nightgown. Okay? In a man's nightgown. Ve'eno yochel ahotzi esro shomitnei atzina, and you're in the you're sleeping in your towel, you're under the covers, let's say. What's it called? And you can't take your head out because it's freezing. Okay, so your head is under the covers too. Mitnei atzina. Chotzeitz bital, so your whole body is in the same, and you don't have any clothes on. So you're under the covers, saying it doesn't make a difference what's talking about, nightgown or the covers. You're under the covers with your head. So your head and your body are in the same area as your erva. So, what do you do? So, chotzeitz betaliso al tzavoro. So you take your the blanket and you hold it in with your hand, okay? The kore kriyishma. And you can read kriyishma like that. The yeshomrim al libo. And some hold that you have to hold the garment not up here, but down here, by your heart. The tanakama, according to the tanakama, hari libo roeso erva, according to the tanakama that you're you put your hand here to separate between your head and your erva, but you're not separating between your heart and your erva. That's still continuous. I read libo roeso erva, tesover, libo roeso erva mutter. That opinion holds that libo roeso erva is not a problem. Now this sugya is on chaf hei on the days. 2 days, we'll get to it. That's when we'll speak about it. Here we're just going to leave it as it is. Okay, and we'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll start from this.